Super Heavy is a supergroup of sorts comprised of Mick Jagger, Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics, Joss Stone, Damian Marley, and composer A.R. Rahman, who did the score for Slumdog Millionaire. The recording process was kept secret until their self-titled debut was released in September. Today, the Cafe's Michaela Majnun talks with both Mick Jagger and Dave Stewart about the project. We'll talk with Dave in a bit, but first off, Michaela asked Mick about his response when Dave Stewart called him in Jamaica about the project.
I hung up. I said, I don't listen to your ideas. Straighten up. Look here. He'd called me from this hilltop in Jamaica and sort of tried to have his idea. And my role is to interpret Dave's brilliant ideas and make them into practicalities. But help make them into practicalities. No, he's just sort of... We talked about this a few times and sort of tried to crystallise, well, what do you really mean? I mean, what's it going to sound... Because it's so very well to have these theoretical ideas, but then... It's like a kind of movie. You don't really know what they're going to look like. And I didn't really know what, you know, if you say I want to make a blues record, you know it's going to sound like, you know what I mean? If you're going to make a folk record, if you're going to make a hip-hop record, you know kind of what it's going to sound like. But I had no real concept of what this was supposed to sound like when you'd finished it.
Well, what did he say to you that even gave you a notion of what it was?
It was going to be a real mixture of styles. Which is fine with me because I've always tried with the Stones to do mixtures of styles instead of, you know, just being a rock band or being a... So this appeals to me, but it was going to be... we didn't really know who was going to be in it, so we didn't know what styles were going to be sort of fungible. So we kicked the idea around, and though Dave and I were producers, our job was to get the project finished. It's quite easy to get these things started sometimes, but getting them finished is difficult. But as a vocalist, I was one of four vocalists, so I had a lot of help doing the vocals, you know, so I didn't have to do all the work vocally, so I could pick and choose my moments.
Right. We're talking to Mick Jagger today on the World Cafe about the new Super Heavy project and CD. So did you put together the personnel for Super Heavy from a longer wish list, or how did you decide on the participants?
Well, Dave and I sort of batted them about a bit, you know, and obviously you could go any which way that you want. But we alighted upon the people we chose, and they all said yes, and we were all very pleased. We did want to try and have people that didn't have too big egos, so that they wouldn't have, like, you know, 20 hairdressers each and so on, because I could see the back room of the studio being filled with, you know, assistants and hairdressers and hangers-on and things, and we wanted to make sure that we didn't really get that kind of person.
How did you test for that?
The test for the hairdressers? I would say, you know, how many hairdressers? No, we would know that wouldn't be the case. But, I mean, having said that, of course, you have to have some kind of ego. When you're in the room as a musician, you've got to be confident and you bring your confidence to the table and not afraid to say your ideas and not afraid to say, well, that's not really right or whatever. You know, so everyone was very respectful of everyone else, but you know that the thing about this project, I think that getting people quickly to shed any inhibitions that they might have, you know, and so don't worry, you know, you can throw anything out there, no one's going to laugh, and you can just take it as far as you want.
And what about Damian Marley? Had you ever worked with him?
No, I'd never worked with him, or really his father. I mean, I knew Bob some, but I never really worked with him. I wish I had. I knew him socially and used to hang out in the studio and stuff. But so Damien, he was very easy to work with, and he'd spend a long time getting his rhymes and all his toasting together. And the thing about his rhymes is that they're very funny, and they're not clichéic in any way. I think that they're kind of original points of view, and social comment is quite sharp, but it's got a lot of humour in it, so it's not like all put downs. There's one called Hey Captain, where he has a long rap about... I had this idea about this, this is a metaphor, but of the ship going down. It's a pretty old metaphor, but it always seems to work. And, you know, I was thinking of the you know, the president, really. And it was written during the financial crisis, so I was like, it's like a place where we don't want to be. And it just sort of evolved from there. And Damien had this really, he has this really amazing toasting on that one. So I really like that. The sea was glassy, a breeze was blowing, a ship was sailing across the ocean. The cars were rustling, cigars were smoking, red light was rattling, blackjack and poker.
That's Hey Captain from the new Super Heavy collaboration. Mick Jagger is on the World Cafe with us today. And it's interesting that you put the reference to the economy in that song, since you were an economics major in school.
Well, you know, you refer, when you're writing, you refer to what's going on. And that was a big event, you know, it wasn't some little blip. And it's still, you know, hampering our, you know, employment and you know, we were talking about this last night at a few people. The technology is very efficient. So in technology sector, you know, you can do a lot of, you can create a lot of wealth, but you don't necessarily create that many jobs. So and you get more and more efficient. So that though your technology sector in the US and Europe is doing really well, it's not really hiring that many people. So, you know, you have these kind of problems about unemployment in the US, even though you get growth. You get growth, money growth, but you don't necessarily get employment growth. So you know, we've got a lot of problems ahead of us, and economics is one of them. And, you know, there's no easy fixes here, as we know.
So true. It all sounds better when
I
you
I went
say
off track
it.
There, Michaela.
I know, but we're going to pull you right back. let's just talk about the process in the studio.
Yes. Okay.
You came there without any songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
you put them together, all of you together, which is really extraordinary.
Yes, it was perhaps a foolish move not to have any songs. I mean, it's always good to have some songs or half-written songs, and then you hope then and usually get a lot of songs made up in the studio at the spur of the moment, or adaptation of what you have already as ideas. But we didn't really have anything, and I was very worried about that the day of. I mean, I said, Dave, what are we doing? You know, we don't even have any proper riffs or anything. I said, what are we doing here? Because Dave and I always have songs. We have a lot. And we did, of course, have songs. And I said, well, we're not going to... He wanted to go forward, and so that everyone felt that they were all starting on a, you know, even playing field, or whatever the metaphor is. So that everyone could contribute, so that it wasn't going to be... So Dave saying, OK, this is how the guitar part goes. And so we sort of went from scratch and quickly evolved our own method of songwriting, and the whole process was very fulfilling in a way, because you could start in the afternoon with nothing, and by the evening you'd have an almost finished track.
It looked like you were having a lot of fun in the videos that are on the website. So
yeah,
that's a great thing. What do the rest of the Stones think about you doing this? Have they weighed in on it?
Well, Ronnie and Charlie, I played the record too. They really liked it. I don't think Keith said to me he wished me good luck with it. So I think that everyone was, you know, very happy, and everyone's got their own projects. And
exciting.
You know, it's very good.
Now this one reaching out to all the lovers who might be thinking of breaking up, huh? Or maybe even making up. Check it.
I'm Mr.
Miracle Worker, that song from the Super Heavy CD. The video for that song appears on our website, worldcafe.npr.org. Next up, Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics fame is definitely the instigator on this Super Heavy project. And when Michaela talked to him, she asked him how he got the original idea.
In Jamaica, they have these sound systems, you know that they do these sort of amazing nights where the sound system arrives and sets up, and it's like a gig, except there's not really bands play. They spin records and then they have, you know, rappers and toasters and DJs on top of them. But the sound system is kind of like the star. So I have a little place I built with a friend of mine, a Jamaican bass player, right up in the hills. And I'm surrounded by about three villages. And each one was playing the sound system, you know, at, you know, as the sun was going down, they were starting up. And the sound systems were playing different music, but for some reason, just for a moment, they all fitted together. And I could hear, you know, this big bass booming, and then the one up the hill, I could hear this kind of singing. It sounded a little bit kind of like an Arabic sort of prayer, you know, morning prayer that they sing, 5 a.m. or something. And the other one was playing something, and it sounded like weird sort of blues because the wind was blowing all the sound about. And for about, I don't know, about a minute, it all just fit together. And that was the first thing that made me think, oh, this is a really strange but interesting blend of stuff.
And you ended up with a different interesting blend of stuff. I mean, the idea of bringing in an Indian film composer is so different from where you started, although you kept the Jamaican toasting part of it.
Well, yeah, it was this Asian sound. Actually, AR, funny enough, you know, as well as a film composer, he's one of the most famous singers in India too. So so he really, this sort of sound that I was hearing that was more like this, you know, morning prayer sort of Middle Eastern sound, there's an element of that in Indian music and Asian music. So it was basically three worlds, you know. It was like this, you know, between me, Joss, and Mick, we have a world of sort of rock, soul, pop kind of world. And then you have Damien with the whole sort of Caribbean sound, and then you have AR with this whole Asian world. Now, the trick is to make that into songs, music and songs that hang together, glue together.
One of the songs that I love on the album, One Day, One Night, I think really embodies that. Mm-hmm. That combination of the flavors that you each bring to it.
Yeah, that's an interesting song, because what happened was I said I tend to be I don't know what you call that, a creative pixie or something, somebody who or like Puck kind of character who said always pushing everybody to try something different. And in that particular song I said I think we should like paint a movie in our mind and play the movie score to an imaginary movie. AR started to play that beat and the song came in, and Mick started to take on the character of this guy who was really drunk in a hotel and he'd broken up from his girlfriend. And then he got so far, you know, he was staggering down the hall and arguing about the woman with a Spanish radio station. And then he was like, just wondering what to do next. I said, why don't you stagger out across the road and stumble into a bar where Joss is about to sing? And he goes, okay, that's a good idea. So he, and I said, meanwhile, we cut to Damien, who's up in this sort of, you know, apartment somewhere doing his thing. And then AR is in a limousine listening to a sort of Asian music station on the radio. So, in other words, I was painting a scene from a sort of Scorsese movie or something like this. Or and then we were sort of playing it. So we sort of jammed to the imaginary movie scene in our head. And then everybody came in with their parts. And surprisingly enough, it was almost like one take from everybody.
One day. Abandon me. This rotten cheap hotel with a stale smell. Where the hell is the bellman?
One Day, One Night, one of the songs on the new Super Heavy collaboration on the World Cafe. Today we're talking with Dave Stewart. By the way, how did you come up with the name Super Heavy?
The name came from Damien was singing a sort of chorus to himself, and then I started playing the guitar and he was singing it, and he was singing heavy, you know, we're super heavy, a bit like you know, a boxing kind of Muhammad Ali kind of statement. And Mick was going, hey, that's pretty good, that's super heavy. And we started writing it on the, you know, on the charts when we were writing down things. It just sort of by osmotically sort of became the name of the band.
In addition to bringing together different musical styles, the group also brings together different ages. There's one each from their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And that's also pretty unusual for a collaboration.
Yeah, every decade really covered. Well, also that was, I think that we wanted to really smash down lots of these different sort of barriers or invisible sort of you know, barriers that people put up about music. Like, it's interesting because when I was a kid, a lot of the music I was listening to was being sent to me by my cousin in Memphis, to me in the northeast of England, and it was a lot of the music was blues players who were already quite old, you know, and I was about 14 and they were, you know, probably 60 year old or whatever, and I didn't think anything about that. I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing stuff, and that's how I learned to play the guitar. Brand new artists often have massive respect for the older artists, you know, if they're the real deal. There's this other world of sort of commerciality and, you know, corporate marketing and everything that kind of runs parallel to this other real world, if you know what I mean. So we wanted to make something that, you know, doesn't matter what age group you are, what culture you are, where you, you know, are influenced by musically, that when you heard this, it kind of didn't fit into anything of those preset kind of genres.
And you don't think of this as world music?
Well, I remember the first time sort of world music appeared as a section in the vinyl shops, and there was jazz fusion and there was this and that, but there wasn't that many, you know, there was soul, blues, rock, folk, pop, and now there's like gazillions, you know, like subterranean, indie, slice metal or whatever, you know. And so I wouldn't like to put it into sort of just the category of world music or just a category of, you know, reggae music, or it's a whole, you know, brand new bag really, because it's got elements of all these things that I mentioned in it, and if you were to hear it or imagine us playing it live, which, you know, when we were making the video we were jamming it live, it sounds really natural. It doesn't sound like something, you know, trying to be something.
Must be hard to find something to compare with the excitement of the Eurythmics and what that meant in your life when you were doing that.
Well, you know, it's really hard to compare excitement levels, you know. I've had amazing, exciting feelings sort of sitting on R.L. Burnside's front porch, you know, who's a blues player from Mississippi. He's passed away now, but there's different kinds of excitement, isn't there? And I've done so many different things since Eurythmics that I've had great sort of excitement and pleasure from. And it's hard to sort of like look back and say, oh, well, in 1987 I was really much more excited because blah. I just had a great time with Annie in London, actually, and we still are great friends after, you know, all these years of we lived together for 4 or 5 years. Didn't actually write a song while we lived together, not one, and then broke up and wrote 150 songs about it. So, and we're still great friends.
Dave Stewart talking with Michaela Majune about the Eurythmics and about his new project with Mick Jagger, Joss Stone, Damian Marley, and A.R. Rahman, Super Heavy.